Welcome back, everyone. In this episode, we will talk about how to build your brand, how to build your identity, and how does a solopreneur works. Well, a solopreneur is someone who provides admin, dev, consultant, and all combined services together. That way, you can really provide end-to-end solutions to your customer. You will have more work, and your clients don't have to pay the heavy amounts that they need to pay to a consulting firm for three different people doing the same job. So, if you want to learn more about how to be a solopreneur, go to learn.forcepreneur.com and check out my new course about it. Thank you, and now continuing with the episode. So, coming back to the meat of the talk, how are your relationships with the local Salesforce office? So, you know, in terms of consulting world, having a good relationship with the account executives is very important in order to get business. You know how it works. I mean, but as a freelancer, people might underestimate it. But to be honest, I have received one or two projects from the Salesforce Berlin office because the client was just like 10 people. And they were like, we are a startup and we just have like, I don't know, 500,000 of Series A. So it's not even a seed round. So they wanted someone to come in, hit the ground running, and they didn't want the whole, you know, like business analyst and all these three people. So has that been helpful to you?
So funny enough, I haven't made too many connections with the account execs. I do have some connections with the cool people at the tower, Christy. Uh-huh. And
everybody's Christy's friend. Shout exactly. out to Christy, by the way. She does really amazing work at the evangelist team.
She does. Her and my partner manager, Yunus, he's helped me tremendously.
I don't know.
So as an ISV, I have a partner manager.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Oh, you are registered in ISV. Sorry.
Well, OEM now. And
fair enough. So, but no contracting work, nothing in that terms. So no business over there.
No, I haven't actually asked them for any. I've never tried to ask them because up until the pandemic, I found that business was not very difficult to get. People would come to me for help about one thing and then just ask, by the way, are you free to do some development work, some contracting work? And that was how I'd get my income and still have time to do other things on my product, because obviously I have to split the time between them to some degree.
Right. Okay.
But
can you quickly throw some light on OEM and ISV? So I know what an ISV is, and OEM is original equipment manufacturer. I used to work for Dell, so I know the OEM part from that Microsoft Dell kind of stuff. So what is OEM in Salesforce world?
My father used to work for Dell too. Maybe you two
okay,
met.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, he retired from there a while
ago. I worked in their call center in India, you know. Thank you for calling Dell. This is Ankit. How can I help you? Hey, my printer is not running and that stuff. Like typical Indian call center stuff, I did that.
If your printer is not running, that's good. You don't want to lose it. They can run pretty fast.
Nice.
So an ISV is a business that sells on the AppExchange. And you target existing Salesforce customers. You target people who have a Salesforce environment. They want to expand the functionality. They go to the AppExchange. They find a product and install it on their existing org. Whereas an OEM is able to go out in the field and sell embedded Salesforce licenses to customers who are not already on the platform. The idea being that you can target customers by industry and not by their IT systems. And you sell them a license that is fairly equivalent to a platform starter license, which is designed to work with your application. You have some limits on custom objects and the amount of customization that you're able to make on an org. But it's definitely a usable Salesforce license that people can expand on, and if they want to, they can purchase Sales Cloud while they're using the system, and they want some of the standard Salesforce stuff. So by all means, upgrade to Sales Cloud, and you can control your own pricing model for these licenses, which means you set up your own contract, your own pricing, and you invoice the customers however you want and however is. For me, it's great because I can work with my customers to help them. And that's it.
Right. So OEM is basically who helps Salesforce get new customers. We can also look at from that point of view.
Absolutely.
And how much
yes.
is Salesforce's cut in this?
25%.
Okay, fair enough. I think ISV is also 30 or 25, so it's pretty same.
Yeah, it depends on how much they like you, I guess. It's everything's negotiable.
Okay, good to know. Nice. So, yeah, it looks like you have your feet in two boats right now. So you're doing the contractual work, which is basically your bread and butter, and then you're kind of working on this MEO, which is kind of like your retirement plan. So we are slowly coming to the end and the most interesting part of it. So you've been a solopreneur or let's say a builder for a while now. Do you think just being a freelancer developer or just being a freelancing admin / consultant is enough in today's cutthroat Salesforce market? What would be your advice to people who want to get started into the freelancing or let's say solopreneur game?
I think you can make a very good living as a freelance consultant. But there are caveats. People think that freelancing is all fun and games and bags of money, but it isn't. There is a lot more stress, a lot more responsibility. You have to do your taxes. That's not easy. You have to pay an accountant. You have to get legal advice. These things are not cheap.
No.
And they are stressful.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of worries. You have to be in good health because you don't get sick days.
100%.
You have to be responsible with your funds because you don't get holiday pay. It really is about responsibility, much like working from home. When you work from home, you have to be disciplined. You have to say, okay, today I'm going to work and not just go on my computer and browse whatever social media is my favorite at the time.
Right.
And if you can do that, the same type of discipline is required for freelancing. Because you also have to spend time getting work. You have to spend time, I don't want to use the word groom, but definitely build relationships with customers that will come into fruition in the future and not now.
Right. So you need to also put some seeds in the ground. And it's not like, okay, from tomorrow or from next week, I'm going to be a freelancer and boom, you are a freelancer. It takes time. It's a longer process. But coming back to my question again, which you didn't answer completely, do you think one can be just a Salesforce freelance developer or just a consultant? And when you say consultant, I mean consultant / admin. I mean, just the days of just being a Salesforce consultant are kind of gone now. Like you need to have those admin skills. And when I just mean these developer and consulting, I mean, you need to have a certain level of communication skills and being okay with talking to the customer. And those are kind of the skills that I think you need to work on. Then also your development skills, but also those skills, right?
Interpersonal skills are the most important factor to get work. Why? Because you're interviewed. You have to, unlike with full-time work, you don't just have one interview and that's it. You have the job. Every few months, you take on a new project, you need to interview again. You need to impress not only the customer, you need to impress their team because their team wants to decide whether they like working with you on an ongoing basis. You need to impress the recruiters you work with. So they need to like you because that's how they'll give you jobs instead of someone else. So absolutely, interpersonal skills are very important. And joining the Ohana and going to the Speaker Academy and giving out sessions in front of a crowd, making friends in the industry is a big step to help towards that. I've never been one to have a million friends. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek historically, and I grew up without many friends. It is absolutely a skill that you learn and you nurture.
So you mentioned hours and limitations, and I also bring in a little bit of mental health because I struggled with it a little before. Now I follow Headspace meditation and I came into it now. So as freelancers, every hour is a billable hour, and I kind of fall into that trap, as I told you many years ago, and I made a lot of money and it was not fun. That's cool. Somehow I forgot to have fun. So how do you maintain those boundaries? Because you know that you can work every hour. Do you have those boundaries? Do you still struggle with it?
So in that previous job that I spoke of, I did not have those boundaries. I would wake up at 5 in the morning because a client emailed, and I would look at that email and I would fix that email. And I would sit with people until 10 at night and then just go straight to bed.
Wow, you were just like me, man.
And it was not good for anyone, not for me, not for my family, not for anyone around me. And it was starting to affect me. I was getting angry more easily. I was more on edge because I felt like there was more to do than I could accomplish. And the truth is that there's always going to be more work than you can accomplish as one single person. And you sometimes have to push things to tomorrow because you need to sleep and you need to relax and you need to have fun and you need to spend time with your family. And yeah, I learned that even when you do that, when you dedicate everything, it's just not worth it. You have to maintain some type of balance.
Right. So, one of the last questions, what would be your advice to budding forcepreneurs, like people who want to get started in the industry and mostly on the freelance basis, like people who are now in full-time jobs and they're like 4 or 5 years in the game and they're like thinking of making the jump. What would be your advice to these people?
The most important thing is to have a plan for funding it. You don't just quit your job and say, "Okay, I'm a freelancer now.
Right.
Work, come at me." Because unless you've been nurturing those relationships for years, they're not coming at you. So, first of all, speak to people, see what the market's like. Obviously, right now, the market is very weak. It's recovering slowly, but it is very weak. And make sure that you have something to get money in. Also, keep in mind that clients don't always pay on time. I've had
Oh,
clients who
really?
paid 6 months late.
Okay. This one time happened to me in Germany, but sorry, go ahead.
Well, the UK is a bit is less known for its efficiency than Germany. So sometimes people forget. Invoices get lost.
Wow.
People who you try to chase up don't reply. And yeah, we'll pay it next week. We've got a payroll run next week. It's coming. The dragons are coming. If you watch South Park. And it's only when you get really, really upset when things actually change. And I don't like getting upset at people. It doesn't do good to anyone, and it breaks relationships.
Right.
So I try not to. And yes, having that plan to support yourself financially, having some money set aside is crucial. Because you never know. For all you know, your first client, you can work for them for 2 months before you realize, actually, hold on, they're not actually planning on paying me. Or maybe they just don't have the money right now, and they're going to pay me in another 3 months, and you find yourself without any steady income. So, having a buffer, absolutely.
Anything else?
Yes, something that's more close to my heart is to decide what kind of business you want to run, and what is your brand as a business. I think I spoke about it briefly
Right,
before when I
right.
said there are enough companies on this planet that are just after the money
Right.
and after maximizing billable
Right.
hours. And if that's what you want to do, if that's the kind of business that you want to build, then just go back to full-time jobs because we have
Right.
enough. If you want to build something, if you want to create something, create it because it comes from you, from your soul, from your spirit and moral compass, and use that to drive your business because otherwise you're not adding anything to the world, you're taking away from it, and there's not much left to give.
Very good. I think this piece of advice is gold. And also for me, so I work as a freelance consultant, but I'm also a developer. And there's only so many times of REST API that you can write. But every time, to make it interesting for me, I think, how can I do it differently than I did it last time and leave my signature on it? I mean, you cannot change a lot. You know, an account is an account. But still, you know, because otherwise I would lose interest in that. You know, so to also keep it interesting for me and leaving, I mean, I believe programming is creative and it's like poetry, like good code is nicely intended. You look at it and you're like, wow, you know, somebody wrote it. And you want to leave that sign, you want to leave that mark, you know, that, and it would be sometime future, hopefully somebody reads it. Yeah, I think that's a very good advice that you have. One question I forgot to ask you before, what are the challenges of running a Salesforce enterprise? And how are you overcoming them?
Ooh, that is a good one. So, much like with everything, money is the root of all evil. And when I decided to stake my pension at creating an ISV, obviously that does not become profitable overnight or even over a year. So, spending that time both developing a product and consulting is challenging because you work weekends, you work evenings, you work whenever you're inspired, whenever you have an idea in your head and you say, you know what, that's what I'm going to build on my product today. Right. And that's time that's not billable.
100%, yeah.
Also, clients tend to not like it when you tell them you're not 100% focused on them. That's a consideration. That's okay. They have every right to want someone who's fully focused, full-time, just on them. That's okay. Oh, sorry, more challenges come in the form of competition.
As a freelancer. So, London is, I've heard, a freelancer's hub. That's what somebody told me recently. I thought, yeah, I agree to the competition. Like Berlin right now is, man, it's like buying vegetables. Like people are competing at €5 an hour daily, right? You know, like you, yeah, like client is to you, like, but that guy is saying X minus 5 per hour. And I'm like, if you are in for that kind of negotiation, then sorry, coffee was nice. I got to go.
Absolutely. More recently, I think competition's become a bit more fierce. So yeah, there is an emotional part of running a business because you get feedback. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's negative.
Right.
And yeah, and you need to be able to deal with these things on an emotional level.
Thank you, Amnon. That was really, really nice talking to you. I think there was a lot of good information that people can take from it. Do you have any closing notes?
I think that if you're planning on starting a business and you're not sure, give it a try anyway. Because the worst thing that can happen is that your business does not succeed, as do 90% of all startup right. companies. And then what happens? Okay, so the company goes bankrupt. You stay fine. You obviously need to keep some sort of margin in your account so you don't starve. You stay fine and go back to full-time jobs. And you can try again next year or whenever the law allows you, depending on the country. But the experience, the fact that you at least tried, that you tried making something out of nothing, is rewarding in itself.
Of course. I can attest to that. I did it one time. It didn't take off as we planned to. It folded. And now I'm number two. And what I learned in the last one was you can make a very nice technical engineered product, but selling it is a totally different art. So I was the technical co-founder and I had a co-founder who was supposed to sell it. And we didn't sell as much, which was for whatever reasons. And we are in good terms now. In the beginning, we were not any, not, no breakup is any good. But then I learned, okay, this time, so when I'm doing it, I was like, I made the proof of concept, but I waited 3 to 4 months to look for my dream partner, whom I met coincidentally at the Berlin Developer Group. And yeah, so now he's doing the technical part and I'm doing the other part. So as you said, it's absolutely correct. And there are many chances. If this one fails, get up again, you can do it again. You know, we are in a very privileged place right now. Thank you, Amnon. That was really insightful. Before we finish, I don't know if you know this, but I do a very quick rapid fire round. So just to get a little bit in your personality, and I got some Jew questions from our Jewish friends, especially for this. Are you ready?
Oh no, I'm gonna fail. I'm gonna fail.
Right? No, there's nothing to fail. It's very easy. You would enjoy it. Right? So be fast, yeah? Okay. Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Windows or Mac?
Windows.
Ebooks or hard copy?
Ebooks.
GUI or CLI?
GUI.
Now it gets interesting. Falafel or shakshuka?
Falafel. No, hands down.
Tel Aviv or Jerusalem?
Tel Aviv. I was born there.
Ah, you were born there. Hummus or tahini?
Hummus.
Okay. Are you a morning person or a night person?
Neither. I'm an all-day person. I'm always on.
If you could beam yourself to one place, where would it be?
Ooh. Antarctica to get some quiet.
If you had a time machine, would you like to travel in the past or in the future?
If I had a time machine, I would go to the future. But most likely, I would die as soon as I left the machine. So it depends if I had any protection. If I traveling to the future is a bit risky.
Then I can see you're a Doctor Who fan, but it's getting too a little. Okay. Which city do you like to travel to for business?
Like or would like?
No, you like to go for business.
London, really. It's capital of everything.
Now this one, be honest. What's the worst, most crazy thing you have seen in an org?
Seen or done?
Let's talk scene.
Code that was not entirely legitimate to obtain.
Okay. What's the best thing you have seen in an org?
I've seen admins who really care about every step of the process, where everything was documented and everything had descriptions associated with it. Every step of a flow, every variable, every field had a description. And they were pedantic about doing it because that's just the correct way of having something last for decades.
Nice. Second last, your favorite dreaming event and why? Don't say London.
I don't actually fly too much out of the country. So while I generally stick around UK events, one of my favorite ones is Your Dreaming.
Yeah, we met
that
there.
Was supposed to be on this week, but obviously...
Last, can Google be dethroned?
Don't forget that when Google came about, everyone was using Yahoo and AltaVista. And look at Yahoo now, and AltaVista for that matter. They were dethroned. And obviously, Google does a very good job at what they do. They are a fantastic company for technology. You can agree or disagree with their politics and the fact that they're essentially monopolizing the internet, and some of their business practices might be
questionable,
not to everyone's taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's a good word. And maybe someone can leverage on that to dethrone them, because it's going to be very difficult for someone to do it on a technological level. It would take someone of significant backing and intellect to dethrone Google on a technical level.
Right.
So if you...
Thank you, Amnon. That was really nice talking to you. So how do people get in touch with you?
It's very easy to get in touch with me in all sorts of ways. Twitter, the Salesforce community. The problem with LinkedIn is that I get a lot of people who try to connect with me and don't send a message. I just get dozens of connection requests every day that I don't recognize, and there's no message, so I don't accept them because...
Fair enough.
They either try to sell me something or there's just no reason.
I wrote a blog article about it, LinkedIn request etiquettes. It's on blazenewtrail.com/blog, LinkedIn etiquettes. Check it out. Please, when you write a LinkedIn message also to me, just at least say hello, Ankit, not just hello, comma, copy paste it. Thank you, Amnon. Have a good evening. That's it for now, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, check out the other episodes. Please like, share, and subscribe to Forcepreneur. We are available on all major platforms. If you have feedback about any episode or would like me to interview someone, please go to www.forcepreneur.com and let me know. I will get back to you as soon as I can. This is Ankit Taneja signing out. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.